morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am your host, Dean Weitzman here. This is Court Radio on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
There you go. We got the legal out of the way. Folks, welcome back to an action-packed show. Sit back and relax. If you've got a legal issue or question, give me a call at 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal. Yeah, baby. There you go. Good morning, Mr. Glenn.
Dean, I've missed you. How you been?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to see you.
It is great to see you. We've got Tactics Jackson on the keyboards.
DJ Tactics.
Yeah. We're not spinning records today. So
Well.
You're my board op. And running the board,
tickling the keys.
And an esteemed member of the firm.
Yes.
Yes. We are in the midst of economic and financial upheaval.
Unprecedented economic time.
Yeah. They say we could slide into a depression.
No, we ain't sliding. We're running head first like Pete Rose.
Yeah, I hope the folks that voted this administration in are happy with what they see.
Oh, they should be as giddy as a schoolboy at lunchtime.
Yeah.
With chocolate cake.
Mm.
It's a little scary.
How do you feel?
What's interesting is that depending on what network you're watching.
Yeah.
What's happening on one end is the best thing ever.
Right.
And the other thing that's happening is the worst case scenario.
I don't care what you're watching. Tell me what happens when you go to the supermarket. Eggs are, $10 for a dozen.
They went down just a little bit.
Down where?
A little bit.
Where'd they go? Down south? Where'd they go?
Just a little bit. A tad bit.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, things are going to get a lot more expensive. Every real economist, okay, has said that it'll cost the average American family somewhere between $2,000 and $4,000 more a year for the same stuff they need to buy.
I've heard so many theories about why they're doing it this way. They're trying to make Americans conform to a particular way of living now, saying excess is bad, abuse is wrong, tone it down. We're going to teach you how to live now with this new way of doing things.
And yeah.
The tariffs are going to bring this about. But he also told us day one he would address inflation and prices. Now he's saying a year and a half to 2 years to everything adjusts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
come on,
yeah.
Man.
The purpose of it is to bring back manufacturing back to the States. That's going to take time for that to actually happen.
Like a decade.
Nobody breaking ground for anything right now. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So when's it going to happen? I'm coming to live with Dean, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it is.
I live in the garage. The garage.
It's ugly. And listen, I only hope that those who voted this administration in suffer as greatly as everyone else.
Well, they...
But everybody
suffer.
Everybody's not going to suffer. The upper 5%, they're not going to suffer.
He didn't get elected because of the upper 5%. Okay, you gotta at least be honest.
He funded his whole campaign.
He's right. Yeah, they didn't. They were buying his sneakers, Tactic, and sending him money for Bibles. These poor red hat wearing folks.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Those folks
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So they're going to those are people that don't have a lot of means, and they're going to suffer. And just the amount of people that they fired from like Social Security and things like that. Try to call Social Security now and get an answer to something.
Yeah, they didn't.
Nobody
saw that coming.
215-227-2727. Things are in flux.
You know what's expensive? Dog food.
Dog food. Speaking of dogs, you know, thank you, sir.
Finding the big bucks.
We have the greatest dog trainer in the world in our midst today. This is a guy who, you know, he flies all over the world to buy and train dogs and to schmire it up with other dog trainers, really. And he just comes out of Fox Chase, Philadelphia. Humble beginnings. He was actually, you know, Fox Chase is a step up for him. he's actually from, you know, is it Kensington? Yeah, come on.
Port Kensington.
That's port.
Port Kensington. Oh, my.
Gotta put the port in there.
There it is.
You know.
Patrick Harvey, welcome to Court Radio. It's been a while since you've been on.
Hello.
Last time Pat came on to Court Radio, we had Samson, which was my Corso.
Yeah,
I met
Samson.
We had a small studio at the time, right?
Like
it wasn't luxurious like this. It was pre-pandemic, and and Samson was fond of your jeans you were wearing that day.
Very fond.
Yeah,
very fond that I had to get new.
I paid for those.
Paid for those jeans.
Yeah. Because my dog ripped Tactics pant leg, and I have to have my dog under control. Is that correct, Mr. Harvey?
Yes, it is. At all times.
Yeah.
On and off leash.
There's a lot of folks that have dogs, and a lot of animals were obtained during the pandemic. Have you seen the problems that's caused, and what are those problems?
The big problem is there's unwanted dogs now. So everyone had time to, you know, put time into the dog. They were at home, working at home, you know, school. And then everyone got a dog, had the time. Now everyone got called back to work, especially more recently with the government, you know. And now there's unwanted dogs. So the rescues are overwhelmed. There's dogs. We're still rescuing dogs from down south, just from California with the fires. So there's not enough fosters and there's not enough people for these dogs. And a lot of these dogs need training and some TLC.
You know, I've seen some of your you can be found online. You're right. What's your like social media platform?
Well, US1 Dog Training Club is probably the best one on Instagram, and that's a group of dog trainers here in Philadelphia that I help guide and I'm a part of.
Okay, so I'm watching that, and lately I've been seeing you doing like protection training. Like these dogs are running across a field, they grab Manuel by the arm and wrestle him to the ground, and I'm thinking, really? You really want to teach dogs to kill people? I mean, is that, like, why are you involved in that?
Well, it's a trend right now, especially with the Connie Corso like you have, that people buy these inherently aggressive dogs, and yet you have to channel that aggression, in my opinion. It's part of the training. That aggression is going to be there. It's going to find somewhere to go. It's going to possibly be reactive to a kid on a bicycle or another dog walking down the street. So part of the training is to show them that picture. And there's a benefit to it. It brings people security. It's a big deterrent. As far as the dog going down the field to attack somebody, that's a little different. That's apprehension. Legally, you're not allowed to send your dog to attack somebody. But at the end of the leash, your dog is allowed to protect you or in your threshold or on your property.
So in saying that, following up on those videos, if a person breaks into your home and the dog attacks them, is the homeowner liable?
You know, in this day and age, I'm sure that you can get a good lawyer, like my friend next to me here, to find some kind of liability.
No. I will say that, you know, once you cross the threshold into a person's home, they have a right to defend themselves, and the part of that defense may be the use of a guard dog. And so you are a trespasser at that point.
All bets off, at best.
And yes.
Okay.
I don't believe that there would be liability.
How about outside the property? Whatever you own your property, period.
Inside or out?
Yes. On your property, if you're not invited to be on the property. Okay. Now, if you are invited to be on the property, you're a UPS delivery guy, and you're dropping off a package on the front porch, you should have a right to be able to do that, because there's there's an expectation that you will be on that property.
Like a U.S. Postal Service who works
exactly.
Federally. Does the beware of dog disclaimer matter? Does it have to be seen and posted?
It helps. It helps. Putting a disclaimer, a sign that there is a dog on the property definitely helps. But in that instance, I think the right of the homeowner to defend their property takes hold.
One of the things that I was told years ago is to not put a beware dog sign up. You're just announcing the fact that your dog is aggressive. Just put a no trespassing sign up. Because, again, that helps any kind of liability to build a case that your dog, you acknowledge that your dog is aggressive.
Understanding, though, that in Pennsylvania, animals are property. And I know, Manuel, you have a hard time with that. But if your dog, dog that you cherish is killed by another animal or person.
God forbid, that dog's in trouble.
Yeah. The best that you can do is get the money to replace your animal.
Yes, it's livestock. It's livestock, and people don't want to, see it that way because they see it as their family. They love it. They have it in their family photos, their holiday photos. Yet, it's livestock, and you can't. Am I wrong, Dean? But you can't get emotional.
No pain and suffering. For the loss of a dog.
Stop it. Didn't we have this conversation? No psychological, traumatic?
None of that.
None of that. Really?
Yes.
It's like breaking.
Would you expect pain and suffering if you had a car for your whole life and the car was destroyed in an accident?
You're not an object. We're talking about a living creature.
Some people are attached to their car.
Some people got blow-up dolls. They're attached to them, too. I'm just not real.
Some people are attached to their hamsters.
Listen, I think it's subjective.
Yeah, it's not.
What are they called now? When you travel with a pet, they're called something now.
Emotional support animal?
No.
No, you can get another emotional support animal. Okay.
There's a seeing eye dog.
No.
Not a different.
No, you might get a lot of money for a seeing eye dog because it takes a lot of training and whatnot. So that. The value of that property is greater than
your money. I just think it falls under a different category.
Those damages. Yeah.
215-227-2727. We're talking with Pat Harvey. We're talking about owning dogs and getting training. Now, Pat, in this regard, I happen to know that you kind of got a subspecialty of working with professional sports athletes and their animals. Why is it that so many of these professional athletes have these kind of dogs?
You mean like Corso, like inherently aggressive breeds? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they, none of these guys have dachshunds or however you said.
What everyone forgets about professional athletes is they're still kids. They're young men. Starting out in life. So look at the trends of all young men. They're getting bullies. They're getting Connie Corso. They're getting, French bulldogs. They're getting trendy breeds, just like their clothing. You have a lot in common with them, Dean. You're a trendy dresser, and you got a Connie Corso. So why did you get the Connie Corso?
They're also getting their houses broken into.
Yeah, that brings up a whole I saw an article that the NBA was advocating their players get guard dogs. Is that true?
Yes. A few people sent me those news reports that the NBA put out a statement that they should heighten up security and recommended possibly getting a guard dog because it's a good deterrent, and that's what you really want with a protection dog. A lot of home invaders have been interviewed and said the first thing that they'll bypass, could even be a little terrier like yours, that the noise factor, it just brings too much attention. They'll go to the next house. So the deterrent factor is a big part of this. But there has been a lot of home invasions with these athletes, because in this day and age, you know where everybody lives, and you can see their schedules when they're out of town and on the road.
Mm. Aha.
They're away a lot.
Yeah, they're away a lot. And people know when they're away.
That's true.
There was another big story last week with a football player, and there's video, surveillance video.
What football player?
I can't remember. I want to say a last name of Lewis. We'd have to look this up, but we can see this online. There's three men going through the window with masks, one with a gun, and his wife and children were there. He wasn't present. They got away with a few small items.
Did they have a dog?
They didn't have a dog.
How many athletes are under your tutelage right now?
Just a few right now. A few had just gotten traded, especially from the Sixers. Paul Reed and Tobias Harris, both great guys. And I can see now that they're doing so well there at Detroit. Detroit's doing well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not.
Imagine that.
You know?
That's a whole different ball of wax right there.
But, you know, I have some football players and some basketball players. But I helped one football player who also had an incident with a home invasion. And right afterwards, I imported him a Malinois. So
What's a Malinois?
A Malinois. Belgian Malinois from the Netherlands. It's traditional military police canine.
Yo.
Very athletic.
They're like super dogs. No, they are.
It's a more athletic German Shepherd. You know, it's a traditional canine breed from Europe. And yet, I'm going to have some issues with that now because of these tariffs. It applies to this, too, with importing
No
animals.
Way.
It will, yes. It's already, there's been some rule changes where now you used to be able to bring a couple puppies over at 10, 12 weeks. Now you have to wait till they're 6 months. There's a lot. American Airlines is no longer shipped. There's a lot of other issues going on with this. But that industry for an executive protection dog, I know a dog personally that went for $90,000 last year, got sold to California.
Wow.
Because people want security. Look at all the issues
now,
they're
having. If you spend 90 G's on a dog, does that dog come like fully ready to go? Like he's, you know, he comes into the house and goes, okay, I'm ready. Who do I go after?
He can drive you when you had a few drinks, I guess.
Yeah, Manuel showed me a picture.
That's Pablo. That's Pablo, bred by Hans Peggy of the Netherlands, and he got sold by Gold Coast Canine to some client in California for $90,000. He took second in the police dog championship in the Netherlands.
What will that dog do?
2023.
Give me some idea. What do you get for $90,000?
That dog will retrieve your keys. The first and foremost, that dog is stable. He's stable. He has the genetic instincts to do apprehension and high-level military police work, but you're able to have him around small animals and children. He's not triggered by normal environmental issues that a more defensive breed that's tied into like fear-based aggression, which is fight or flight, you know, and it's more of a confident type of a prey aggression, a social aggression, an active aggression. It's more of a confident dog that's, you know, doing this man work.
Dog that is analytical.
He can recognize.
It's more discriminating. The dog's genetically, inherently more discriminating. Every dog needs to be socialized so that it can understand what are threats, not threats, and, you know, to be able to see different environments so that it can walk through life and not be flighty or insecure in going into, say, like a schoolyard full of kids running around screaming. But certain dogs have more genetic inherent traits that allow them to just handle that well, even at a young age, you can identify that.
How long does it take to train a dog to be that stable, secure, protective dog?
The dogs that I've imported, which will be called almost finished, that's the way they word it over there, are very close to 2 years old. So it takes that dog, of course, all the reps of a lot of the group training, the environmental training, the protection training, the obedience training, but it also takes that young male dog to be an adult and have life experience. It has to fully mature at 2 years old. So a police dog has a shelf life. They want to get that dog before two, and it's going to have a service until about seven or eight if you're lucky. So they're looking for two-year-old dogs to be a police canine.
I love dogs, man. I've had dogs all my life. I love them.
Do you train them?
I train mine. I've helped other folks, but not to his level, but I love them. I just love dogs.
I thought you trained your dog to get you a beer.
I trained Atmu to get beer, my drinks, the telephone. He was big red golden retriever. Old world golden is what we called him. His name was Atmu. Atmu meant Prince of Light and Splendor. I trained this dog to get my golf balls when I hit him. He brings them back like a caddy. I want to ask you about a Rhodesian Ridgeback. What do you think of those dogs?
They're fine. It's ornamental breed at this point. Some of that stuff you read about them. The real South African breed now is the South African Boer Bull, which is more like the Connie Corso. And I've had experience with them over there, really. Family of mine have imported them from over there. My cousin was a chef over there, and he had gotten these Boer Bulls. So picture the Corso, bigger dog. But the Rhodesian Ridgeback is more of a show breed now here in the States. So some of the stuff they say it's going to do, I haven't seen personally.
I love watching the dog shows, man. I mean, here in Philadelphia, I mean, world-renowned, that dog show here.
We had a local guy that I trained his Corso. He lives in Mullica Hill. He has a restaurant here, too, Chicks, down there on William Manson. His Corso won Westminster, like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, Phil
That's
Narducci.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
What about people that get dogs? A lot of my neighbors have those Burmese Mountain Dogs. These are big dogs with a lot of fur.
I used to have a Burmese Mountain Dog.
I got to think that in the summertime, it's got to be brutal for them.
Oh, it is.
In some, you know what I mean?
That's another good question a good point that you're making there. However, I learned that Huskies, longer hair breeds, they're insulated on the heat and the cold.
Okay.
You don't see them struggle as much in the heat like a Siberian Husky. They're not sucking as much air to cool off like some of these shorter hair breeds.
215-227-2727. Yeah. We're talking to Pat Harvey about dog training and liability when you have a dog like this. A dog that has the capacity to do harm to others. First question, what's a good age to start training a dog?
As soon as you get it. You know, a young puppy has already learned stuff from its mother. It's learned some manners. When they start to wean them, you know, they learn boundaries. The mother may growl and show her teeth, give that dog a visual cue to stop nursing. So it already learned some manners from its mother at like 5-6 weeks old. So at 8 weeks old, you can teach a puppy to recall, sit down, and a lot of it's motivational at that age. So it's a lot of reward, like a reward system. It's like a positive foundation, like we would do with a kid in kindergarten, a lot more motivational type of training.
How much time has to be spent in a week, say, training your dog?
You know, training should be in short reps and when you feel like it. It's conditioning behavior. So you're trying to mark little things like at first, when the dog puts its butt down for the sit, you reward it. And then you try to have it maintain it a little longer. Then maybe you get the dog to look at you. You want to do it in short reps. You don't want to lose the young puppy's attention, the dog's attention. It's not how much you do. It's just dog training's timing and moments. You want to do it right in the moment and not train too long. It's 90% of what you don't do. Sometimes people go too long and too far.
How does one learn how to train a dog?
Well, we have Amy sitting right next to us here. She's from Denmark, and she's studying to be a dog trainer with me.
All right.
You have to learn, like anything else, you have to do to learn. Right. Learning to do by doing to learn is the best way. And it's an observational thing. Dogs are nonverbal communicators, so you have to see what they're telling us with their eyes, with their expression. And it takes a little time. And, you know, different breeds carry different traits. So your experience, it can't be shortcut. You need to just get out there And
does group training, is it? I never did group training. You took my dog. You trained the dog. You worked with me and the dog, but we never did group. Is group important for
training? Your dogs did group training, but I'm used to dealing with lazy handlers like yourself where I have to take the dog there and put the reps in. Because without the group, without those controlled distractions, it's not the same as your backyard. A lot of people will say, well, he does it at home, of course. But let's go down to City Hall when there's a festival and see if that dog will do it there. You have to take them to different environments. Mm. And when you do the group, like a class, it's a controlled environment. All those dogs are under general control. They each have a handler that knows its position. And there's a lot of neutralization that happens during
What's
group.
Neutralization?
Well, they're in close proximity to other dogs and other people. And it's socialization, but it's not over-socialization where you're letting everybody pet the dog. Mm. There can be problems with that, especially with a young puppy. It could get out the front door, and because you let everybody on the street pet the dog, it could run across the street to say hi to somebody with good intentions and get hit by a car.
215-227-2727. Let's talk to Joe on line two. Hey, Joe, welcome to Court Radio.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a retired engineer. I work for NASA. I bought a car about a year ago, a used car at a dealer. And the reason I bought it is Carfax said no accidents. Now, I just had the car serviced about a week ago, and the gentleman said, hey, look at all these parts that have been damaged from an accident. Now, a year later, do I have any legal recourse with any damages or even the possibility to return the car?
The answer is yes, probably yes. If a car dealer... Now, you're going to have to show that the car dealer knew about that accident. But if a car dealer intentionally lies to you, especially if it involves a material fact. So we're not talking about a little rub and bump kind of an accident, but a significant accident which did maybe frame damage or significant internal damage. And you would not have bought the car had you known that. I think then you're beginning to make a claim under Pennsylvania's consumer protection law for a valid cause of action. Now, unfortunately, because it's probably not enough money involved, I wonder whether you'd be able to get counsel involved on your behalf. But because it's there may be a violation of the consumer protection law, built into that could be treble damages or attorney's fees. So I think we could probably get you associated with a consumer protection lawyer who might be interested in pursuing that claim for you, especially if it's against a car dealer that's a significant entity, somebody that has deeper pockets, mm-hmm. not, you know.
Major car dealer.
Not a corner lot place.
Right.
So what I would advise you to do, Joe, is to either send me an email. That's probably the best. Send an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. My firm won't handle it, but we have consumer protection lawyers that we'd be happy to refer you to that probably would.
Okay. Guys, I want to say how much I appreciate your program. And last week I listened to Dean. You were talking about the Benz, the damage, and how you got recourse from the insurance agent, the insurance company.
Yep.
That was great. That was great. You guys do a great job, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
And thanks for your service in NASA.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, I got another question, but I'm going to call next week. I don't want to take up your time.
All right. Well, we'll have a cereal with Joe every week. You call with a question. How's that sound?
Joe's back.
You're part of the show.
Well, I had a unique experience. I had a $1 million lawsuit against a $1 billion company, and no one wanted to take my case. I had to get this kid out of Duke, and we actually won the case.
That makes my heart feel good for you, Joe.
Yeah.
Keep the big guys in line and make sure that they pay up when they owe. All right, I want to hear you next week. Maybe we'll get a little more into that story.
Okay, I will. Thank you guys again.
See you, Joe.
All right, Joe. Good call.
Folks, we are up against the break, so we're going to take 2 minutes of your time for our sponsors, and we'll be back with Pat Harvey about dog law.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree. This is Court Radio, and I am your host, Dean Weitzman. You'll find us right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And also Classics 107.9.
Folks, we are talking to Patrick Harvey, dog trainer extraordinaire. Actually, yeah, he won't say it, but he's got a bunch of Sixers, a bunch of Eagles. He has created a kind of a subset of dog training for professional athletes that's really incredible. But he's also training trainers now. And we have one of his students in the studio as we speak.
And yes. It was Richard Sherman that had his house broken in that was on video.
Just happened this past week. Yeah. It was scary. It was very scary.
Mr. Cox had his house almost broken into.
Yeah, right? there's some stuff online about that as well. And but they're going to be in trouble now because he does have some Malinois trained by my friends in the Netherlands, Ivana and Christian of Van der Veek Canine, Landgraaf, Netherlands.
So if you knew what all that meant, then that probably was impressive.
if you Google Superdog, that dog comes up.
What in the Vandalay industry?
And Cox has one of them. One or more than one?
He has two now.
Ooh.
The thing is, the super, again, the drama part of this, it's a mistake to get a Malinois. And it's also a mistake to get any inherently aggressive breed and not seek out at least obedience training.
I haven't heard the word pit bull one time.
Well, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It needs to take a nap. But it's another beautiful breed. And I hate to say it, but the street ruined it.
I agree.
All right, let's talk to some callers because it's not all about you, Pat. line five, Betty. Betty on line five. Hi, Betty. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, Dean. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I'm blushing, you. Betty. I'm blushing.
He is.
So what?
I'm a healthcare worker, so I don't really get a chance to listen to you all the time, but I love you. My question is for Pat. I'm super, super interested in becoming a dog trainer, and I want to know what's the, you know, right way of getting it. You see a lot of stuff on the internet, and I don't know what is a real dog training school or not. How do I find out about it?
And is there a license for it?
There's New Jersey just put out, you know, some kind of element that they want to start licensing dog trainers. And, you know, it'd be good and bad, just like everything else. Like, new laws to me, you know, enforce the ones you have. But it would help somebody like this that as a consumer that wants to learn so that they don't get swindled out of money and really end up leaving with no, you know, prospects of really making any money in the pet care industry. So there are schools. There's one in Texas. It's called Triple Crown. It's been around a long time. And you would go there and you take a course. And, of course, you would need a dog. And two would be better. Because this is one of those things where you have to do it to learn it. You have to, you know, it's a thing of timing and moments. So you have to start to walk and dance with that dog in a certain way that you get the right timing down to mark behavior.
How about the school of YouTube?
So Texas has a school, and you actually go and live there and train a dog and learn.
Yeah, that's a big facility, and it was in the 90s that went up, and it was state-of-the-art. I visited it a few years ago when I was out in Texas, and they were in class at the time taking a test. I was curious if I'd fail that test or not. I was, you know, but I have been training dogs since I'm a kid just because I was obsessed with dogs. But the other question you're asking to help you a little further is if you take advanced obedience with a highly referred dog trainer, you yourself are getting taught to be a better dog trainer, a better dog handler. So it's better to go to a professional because there's a lot of fundamental things that you can learn and apply to all the dogs you own moving forward.
But like if Betty wanted to come to your class, right, and volunteer, she'd obviously learn something. How does Betty get in touch with you?
Well, you know, I could give my number.
Go ahead. Give it. Go ahead.
267-968-3122. And I can at least guide you to meet your goals because I'm not quite sure what your goal is in pet care, but I could definitely help you out. A bunch of the people that are with me already had already been training dogs, and they wanted to maybe start competing in sport or at least put an obedience title on a dog. You know, these type of certifications from organizations bring you a little bit of credibility.
All right, Betty, I hope that helped you out.
Thank you so much, Dean. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Take care, Betty.
Bye-bye.
Tactics, let's talk to Sherry on line 4.
Oh, haven't heard that in a long time.
Okay. Well, Sherry said she wants to know more about training, wants to know if Pat will take on clients. Do you take on new clients, Patrick?
Yes. I have some help right now because I'm a little overwhelmed. I work a lot with Philadelphia Animal Hospital, which in my opinion is the top hospital and the best vet in Larry Rebecca in this city. And it's because of their bedside manner. They really treat you like family, anyone that goes in there with their pet.
Where is that place?
It's on Holstein Avenue by the airport. It's actually very, if you were going to board, there's also a pet hotel there. So if you were going to fly out of town, it's very convenient to leave your car. There's a lot of long-term parking right there, your animal, your car, and in 5 minutes you're at the plane.
Wow. Philly Animal Hospital. All right, I'll keep that in mind. Let's talk to Mike, line 2. Michael, welcome to Court Radio.
Gee, what's happening?
How are you, sir? What's going on?
I like your show. The bad news is I always wanted to, I like law and I'm intrigued by law and I took classes and I'm just probably a little too old now to do it. But I got hit by a car 2 years ago. Actually, some guy turned in front of me, and I T-boned him. And at the moment, I didn't have injuries, but I was getting back and neck on treatment from time to time. So I figured, I just want to make sure I'm okay. Well, what happened is long story turned long. I ended up doing therapy and epidurals and all that stuff. And I've been offered a settlement for $75,000. Of course, I get $45,000 and my lawyer gets $30,000, but then I got to pay my bills. And the problem is, they're going to hold 6,000 in escrow. Rothman's the only one that hasn't been, I think, has been approved as far as payment and stuff like that, and I'm waiting on that. How long should I have to wait for that, do you know? Or
How long should you wait for what? For a settlement? For Rothman?
Well, exactly. Well, I was offered the $75,000, but then I was told all my bills were paid, but Rothman. So they were going to see what the insurance company was going to pay for Rothman, and then I would get my money. I'm just wondering, am I going down the right street with that, do you think?
I do. It sounds to me like you're heading in the right direction, but if, you know, you have to make a decision whether, let's say, a net of $40,000 is adequate for your pain and suffering with the consultation of your attorney, because you have experience on a single case. I presume your attorney has experience on, you know, hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of cases. And so that's where you want to turn to find out whether they think $75,000. You know, there's questions I have. If there's an offer of $75,000, that means there's at least $100,000 in liability, because we don't sell $75,000 policies. So is it a $100,000 policy? They're offering you $75,000. Can you get it closer to the full policy limits? Do you have uninsured or underinsured motorists that if you do get close to the policy limits on the defendant may kick in? Will you have future medical expenses in the future? Has anybody calculated what those future medical expenses might be? How old are you? What's your life expectancy? What does that number of future medical expenses look like? Then you can begin to understand whether $75,000 is an appropriate settlement. My friend, in the abstract, just saying I had a couple epidurals and I've had some PT doesn't give me the facts necessary to truly dig in and tell you whether that's a number if I were your attorney, would recommend to you.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, Dean, I really respect your opinion. That's why I'm calling in to find out. I think what I'm going to do is, and I hope you don't get angry at me, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to accept it and feel like I did all right. I'm not going to worry about future treatments because I think I'm okay. I just wanted to think if you thought I did okay with this.
And I think 75, if you don't have future medical treatment and expenses and you only have $6,000 possibly in bills, which I'm sure your lawyers can negotiate down from six to something less than six. I think that $75,000 for what you described as a thumbnail sketch is not a bad settlement.
That's what I thought, and I want to let you know that I talked to you guys. I listened to you guys every week. I really
Mike. The next time you have a car accident, God forbid, I don't wish it on you, but please make me the first call, and then we can get to meet each other, and then you won't have to worry about whether you got the right settlement or not.
That's right.
I understand that. Okay, I understand that. I just respect you so much that. I wanted to get you, but I probably should have came to you first. But
yeah.
Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Mike, be well. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
215-227-2727. That's the number you're supposed to call when you have the car accident, folks.
Hi, lawyer.
If I'm making sense to you, then don't we already have a relationship? Aren't I in a sense already your lawyer in a way, kind of, sort of? Give me a call. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to tell you I'm not taking on your case. But maybe I'm going to. And you'll be richer for it.
You will.
And I don't mean financially, but, you know.
Knowledge. My
clients don't wonder if they have the right settlement. Because yesterday I spent a half an hour talking to a client about the potential settlement and what it means and what happens if we don't take the settlement. And it was like a class I was giving him. And at the end of the day, that's what you're paying for. I'm here to teach you about what I've spent a lifetime learning.
I get it now. I see where this is going. In the future, the retirement plan, Professor Weitzman, some university somewhere in America.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I'm going to be training dogs, and Pat's going to have me training dogs. Yeah.
What would I ask you, Pat? At pro athletes, especially in this town tactic, right? They get traded so much, man. They come and go so quickly. How does that affect your work with them and these dogs and these pets? They're in one city for a minute, then they're gone someplace else.
I feel for them because some of them, they've been here for years. And, you know, they find out like we do that quick. Mm. And they're on a plane the next day. Mm. And a lot of times I have to go to the house right after that. And some of the neighbors are in there saying goodbye, crying to them. Because I have to take the dog till they get settled. Because they're going to a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And they got kids and pets. So, you know, and everyone forgets how young these men are, you know. And I don't know that I could deal. I definitely know I couldn't deal with the pressures that come to them. Plus the money, I would definitely mess
up. How do you feel about pets?
Well, and pets as far as their new environment.
If they were my sons and they were professional athletes, I'd be telling them wait to get dogs until after your career.
After your career.
They move around a lot. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I've gotten to meet a lot of people from, you know, every kind of walk of life. But I've been able to help out some of these young athletes because they need other services. And, you know, I've built relationships where they trust me to help them care for their dogs because a lot of them are coming right from college with no family members in a strange city. So they have no support. You know, like we have people come to our house to watch our animals, you know, they work on referrals. I'm all referrals. I do not advertise. And it's just I've been doing it so long and I've been obsessed with dogs my whole life that I'm known for dogs. So people ask me health questions a lot of times.
What do you think about dogs and air travel, traveling on planes?
That's changed, too. I used to fly a lot of dogs out. I would pay, you know, as a service, I would take dogs to the airport. And, of course, I've imported a bunch of dogs. The airlines have restricted a lot of breeds. Brachycephalic breeds, like short-muzzled breeds like the Corso, cannot fly in cargo anymore. And it's very difficult to take a dog like that, a large 100-pound-plus dog, on the plane itself. You know, you'd have to get it, you know, the service dog thing. A lot of people are lying about that. I feel a certain way about that. People are really exploiting the fact of you can get a service dog license like I got a minister license to marry my nephew. Online, pay $25, and you got a service dog, emotional support. I respect and I know trainers that train emotional support dogs, especially for veterans and people with PTSD, but they're really trained dogs. That's a different story. A lot of people are exploiting that because they want to travel with their pets.
What is the favorite dog of professional sports athletes today?
That's generalizing, Dean. You know, I got guys with foofy dogs and guys with the big dogs, you know, and again, just like all other young men, a lot of people like the look of the Corso. Of the Presse, of the Boer Bull, of the Bull Mastiff, you know, when I liked that when I was in my 20s. I look at a Rottweiler, and I was like, I needed to have one because of the look of it.
Yeah. I started down this path probably about 10 years ago. My first Cane Corso. I had gotten divorced. And the first thing I wanted was a big, bad dog to keep protecting me, right?
And but Pat, being that the wife can't do it anymore.
And Pat and I... You'll pay for that. Pat and I met each other because I was living next door to Ben Simpson.
You told it.
Ben Simmons.
He whose name shall no longer be mentioned.
I'm sorry. I was living next door to Ben Simmons. Yeah. And he had a Cane Corso Bane that was a gorgeous, massive Cane Corso. And I said, where did you get him? And he gave me his the people he had purchased it from. The breeder was in California.
Max Train.
And then
he breeds the best Corso, in my opinion, in this country. Not so much, you know, it's the overall package. But the first and foremost, I've trained over 20, maybe 30 Corsos from him. All of them are stable. They're all going to be aggressive to some degree. But if they're a little unstable, meaning if their defensive instinct is a little high, they have a perception problem. And that makes an unstable, aggressive breed.
Their perception that something is a danger
when
is,
it's not.
When it's not. Mm.
Yeah. Environmentally or socially, children.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm. Eye contact with children.
I knew one of those dogs. Yeah. My first one. And then I got a second one, and then I bred her, and I have now her daughter. And so it has been an adventure to go down. But these dogs, as you said, require training and constant training over their lifetime. It doesn't stop.
Patient, man.
That's all breeds, though. You know, all breeds require training. And training doesn't stop. There's maintenance training. And it doesn't have to be long lessons. It's just that you should, when you take your dog on a walk, just put him through a few of his positions, a few little exercises. It helps sharpen the communication.
215-227-2727, the number for Court Radio. We will be back in 2 minutes with Patrick Harvey, dog trainer extraordinaire.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
We're here every Saturday, folks, from 9 to 10 a.m. If you like the show, tell your friends and family, get the listenership up, and I will reward you with a My Philly Lawyer gift pack. There you go.
Wait, does that come with the card?
I am not above buying listeners.
swag bags.
It's not illegal yet. let's talk to Chris on line two. Chris, welcome to Court Radio.
Oh, Chris.
He got hit by a drunk driver.
In one session.
Guy's in jail. His insurance paid for everything. It sounds like Chris had an uninsured and underinsured motorist claim and got paid by his own insurance company and now wants to know, can he sue the driver? And the chances are to that, no. If you've signed a release for uninsured motorist benefits, you may have given the right to collect up to your company. Now, you can negotiate that, and you could pursue those claims. But let's say your company paid you an uninsured motorist maybe $25,000, and you pursue a claim against the drunk driver who you later find out, and it's not beyond the statute of limitations, then if the first $25,000 you collect, you typically have to give that back to your uninsured motorist carrier. If you get an amount in excess of that, then that would be for his pocket.
Okay.
So that's the answer to your question. Patrick Harvey, it's been a great show.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, for some of these dogs, for many dogs, even little dogs, even foo-foo dogs, dog training is absolutely makes the relationship between you and your animal so much better than just allowing the mutt to do whatever it wants. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're building communication. It helps your relationship. And it makes you understand dog a little more, which is a lot of nonverbal stuff. They tell us a lot of things.
My dog smiles at me every day when I go to greet her when I wake
dogs
up in the
love
morning.
You all the time.
She smiles. No, she literally smiles
That's
at
good.
Me. And so she's so happy to see me every morning. And then I give her a little love. And that just... recognizing, not ignoring her, but recognizing her and giving her a little something back, builds a level between us. Because then when I ask her to do something after that, she is so much more compliant than if I just had ignored her.
If only marriages were like that.
They are.
In the beginning.
So I want to just say that if folks need Pat, and they were looking to perhaps get into a class or shadow him and want to become a trainer, they could either reach out to Philly Animal Hospital, which will put them quickly in touch with Pat, because I think that you do most of their training. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I'm one of the trainers there, and I've been training there with those people for a while. There's a lot of vets. Again, it's the best facility, state-of-the-art, and not a long wait. They have a big team. They treat everybody that comes through there like family, you and your pet.
And, of course, if you can't find Pat, you can always send me an email, and I will certainly put you in touch with him.
You can also follow Amy's page at US1 Dog Training. US1 Dog Training Club, right? On Instagram.
US1 Dog Training Club. All right, so that's on Instagram, and you'll see Instagram posts of Pat. There's one of him falling over a wall that's hilarious. I think that,
yeah. Everyone likes watching me fall and you know, watching me get old. That they always get the most likes.
Yeah, yeah. You were fall. Yeah,
it's
go ahead.
US1 Working Dogs.
Oh. He doesn't even know his own
correction.
Website.
Well, that's Amy's.
I run it for
she
him.
She runs
yeah.
it.
It's basically just a fan page for Pat now.
US1.
watching me fall over walls and shit.
Yeah. US1 Working Dog. US1 Working Dog. She's going back to Denmark tomorrow.
Yeah. On a Denmark, Denmark's FCC must be a lot more lenient.
We're sending her back to Denmark.
Yes,
you're going to have to find a new social media person. All right, folks. We're just about out of time. I wanted to just one last thing here. Is there an easiest breed to train, or, you know, are some breeds like when I grew up and we had a Doberman, that Doberman was stubborn as hell. And I was told that they were not that I'm not saying they aren't smart, but they were very stubborn dogs and it took a lot to train them.
I don't know if you guys remember, but I was always watching dogs as a kid, and I remember so many store owners having the Doberman in the 70s. Remember the Doberman Gang movie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a great movie.
I remember
dogs were
well.
Doing everything. That's so not true. Amy has a Doberman, and they're so highly trainable. They thrive off of training, but they need structured training, and they need protection, in my opinion, because they were the first designer protection dog by Louis Doberman, who was a tax collector in Germany. So they need to see that picture. You need to channel that aggression that is inherent. You can't just ignore it, give them love, and give them some therapy and think that they're going to just be social with everybody. They need it. They need purpose and a job with that.
You didn't answer my question, though. Is there a breed?
It's kind of a difficult question because you got reasoning intelligence, like you got in hound dogs, which are not very trainable. And then you got the very tractable dog in the border collie, who to me, I think, is a dumb dog. And yet, if you get a King Charles Spaniel, you don't even need a trainer because it's just that dog that just doesn't need training. So as far as easy, it depends on your goals. If you just want a house dog, get yourself a golden retriever.
Best dog ever had.
Get yourself a traditional family breed. Sometimes when you get to the Labrador retriever, it's a little more of a worker. There could be some challenges if you don't channel the drives. But, you know, I think that...
Is there one dog where you like say I'm not that? No,
Akitas, all these spitz breeds, anything with a curled tail,
Malamutes,
and a pricked ear, because they're highly instinctive and high reasoning intelligence. They're very independent.
Mm-hmm. Curled tail and pricked ears, stay away from them, folks.
Come on, dogs.
We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place. Have a great week.